Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today with John Downing.
Now, John Downing, good morning to you. A seismic night in British politics. Hopefully it leads to a bit of a redrawing or a reset of Anglo-Irish relations. But it seems like, obviously, the UK population are well and truly fed up to high heaven with the Tories. But Keir Starmer ran a pretty sharp, pretty effective campaign supported by some Irish advisers.
Indeed, a great Irish flavour to the people surrounding Keir Starmer. His campaign manager is a guy called Morgan McSweeney, who's from Macroom, just over the county bounds from you guys. He's in Britain a long time. Lives in Scotland, but he's considered to be a key strategist. was named. His Irishness has kind of gone under the radar, but he has been named late last year by The New Statesman, a Labour-leaning publication, as the most influential, among the most influential people in leftist UK politics. He's frequently, the Times of London gave him a similar billing. He's frequently a target for attack from the rabid right-wing press, that dreadful excuse of a publication, The Express, among them. So he can't be doing everything wrong. And another person there is the director of elections, a guy called Pat McFadden, who grew up in Glasgow, but his parents are Irish speakers from the Donegal Gaeltacht, where he spent a lot of his childhood. Meanwhile, childhood summers. Meanwhile, there's a woman called Sue Gray, who is Keir Starmer's chief of staff. Now, she's best known in Britain for the woman who wrote the devastating Partygate report concerning your buddy and mine, Boris Johnson. But she, her mother's from Waterford. Her father from a place called Belcoo on the Fermanagh side of the border with Cavan, married to a guy called Bill Conlon, who's a country and western musician from County Down. Her son Liam Conlon, I just noticed he has been elected for one of the London constituencies as a Labour MP. Liam Conlon is the chairman of the Irish Society of the British Labour Party, and he has spoken very strongly about Keir Starmer's desire to reset the London-Dublin relationship.
Yeah, and that is that's got to be viewed as a positive, and that will have to be viewed, I suppose, in the context of the political earthquake in Northern Ireland, the DUP suffering a bruising set of results. Ian Paisley Jr., the Paisley seat, 50 years in the family. He lost his seat in North Antrim. They lost in Lagan Valley to the Alliance Party, Geoffrey Donaldson's former seat before he stepped down. Jim Allister now heading to Westminster. And Sinn Féin, now the largest party in Westminster, even though they won't take up their seats. That's going to change a good bit as well in terms of that relationship. And promises from Labour as well, John, like they're going to repeal the Legacy Act, which is very damaging on relations in Northern Ireland.
Yes, which Micheál Martin, as Taoiseach Minister for Foreign Affairs, again reiterated this morning that he looked forward to that happening. Keir Starmer, I was listening with interest to my old buddy from the Irish Independent, Bernard Purcell, who was talking to you there a short while ago. That's one thing. The other thing is, it would be bad news to say Jim Allister, who's his election, the TUV, the on the far right of the DUP unionist wing, his election wouldn't be great. Is not great news in of itself, because he's against the power sharing instalment and against the final fix on Brexit, the so-called Windsor framework. However, the big majority that Keir Starmer has and his desire to recast relationships with Brussels, which will not be easy because, remember, the EU will come to any overtures from Britain with a great deal of doubt, and they'll be looking for a price for anything they do. But what would be very helpful is if Starmer and the new London government were to accept EU product standards, particularly in food. That would help trade flows between the island of Ireland, north and south, and Britain, and would be a boon for the Irish food sector in particular.
Yeah, certainly would. And it's remarkable how different things were. The election in the north was all about Brexit and the framework and unionist feeling that they were promised things or over-promised, and it hardly got mentioned in the UK side of things, although the economic trouble from it played a role, I'd imagine.
I would think so. I mean, it was that dreadful cliche, the elephant in the room. Neither Labour nor the Tories wanted to involve because it was such a divisive and basically hurtful topic in British public life, now widely accepted by a majority of British people that leaving the EU was a grave error. However, rowing back from that is not going to be an easy job, and it will be watched with great interest.
Yeah, Starmer said, not in my lifetime will we be going back into Europe. He was saying, maybe someday, but not while I'm Prime Minister, or certainly I don't expect it to happen in my life. So they have to move on as they are at the moment, and that's the way it is. One point I wanted to make, and it's that element of, and I mentioned it to Bernard as well, John, what's your view on this? The lurch to the right by Rishi Sunak to try and stave off reform, it didn't work for them, and yet we still had, look, Liz Truss isn't the most balanced of political individuals given her short and chaotic time as Prime Minister. She lost her seat last night, and instead of reflecting, her answer was, oh well, we just lost because we didn't cut taxes and we didn't stop the boats. No recognition of the chaos, the mad plan that she had that nearly crashed the UK economy. There's a lot of them still in denial, isn't there?
There are, yeah. And I mean, I'm sure a lot of British citizens will be saying to Liz Truss, please shut the door. Mind your backside on that door on the way out there now. She personally helped crash the economy. One of the Tories' proud boasts always was that you leave the economy to us, we manage it. You give it to Labour, they'll make a hash of it. So that was a big factor. We also saw what is now being described as mug exit. I don't know how we're going to pronounce that, but another positive development, really. Other people who wouldn't be known that well known, but big beasts of the Tory party, wouldn't be that well known on this island, but inevitable that big names were going to fall given the scale of the British Conservative Party losses.
Yeah, indeed, and that is the case. Okay, John, we're going to talk about things on our side of the Irish Sea in terms of what happened in it all this week, and in terms of election talk from the move of the budget and bringing forward that. We'll get to that and more. If you have any views for John Downing, any questions for him, get in touch with us. We'll have more on Call from the Dáil after we take these.
Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today with John Downing.
Yeah, John, quick question from a listener. Mary says, that election yesterday in England, they have a result this morning. What is wrong with this country? It takes us so long. I'd imagine that's first past the post versus proportional representation, John.
Correct. And here's the thing. This election, we've seen it's important to look at the fringes of it, because there were Green MPs returned. There were the dreadful reform hard right crowd, Nigel Farage's crowd. They were elected. There were independent pro-Gala candidates returned. But here's the thing. Labour gets 36% of the vote. Basically, kind of rule of thumb, Labour gets one third of the votes. They get two thirds of the seats.
Yeah.
It is a completely iniquitous system, and our PR takes longer, but and it can be very tortuous as it plays out. But it is far fairer and gives the voter a much a much better deal. And I think we can wait for the counts, Jerry, side of the water.
Sadly, John, no one from the Monster Raving Loony Party managing to get elected, but maybe the next time.
maybe the next time. Indeed.
John, another listener has a question that leads us on to our next topic. They're asking, what is this, how much notice is needed, John, for a general election? Now, my understanding is you dissolve the Dáil, an election has to be called within 30 days. Is that right?
And
that question is pertinent because of what happened this week.
It is, yeah. I mean, the move of the budget announced on RTE Radio. The budget, we were supposed to have the budget on Tuesday, the 8th of October. Now it will be Tuesday, the 1st of October. Michael McGrath, as finance minister, one of the last things he said was it would be difficult to move the budget because of the preparations and all the rest. Now the government's explanation for changing the budget date is EU rules to submit spending plans and so on to make sure that we're in line with the EU currency, the euro membership rules, so to speak. But again, the government insisting, by the way, this does not mean that we're going to have an election this autumn. We're going to go the full distance. We're going to go into March of next year. It doesn't look great, but they're kind of obliged to say that. And by the way, when the Taoiseach reiterated that view that it'll be the election will be next year, but he did add the little caveat, that's the plan. Well, plans can change. And I'm among the many who believe we will see an election. Probably by now it's going to go into early November, because following the budget, there are two monster pieces of legislation that must be put through the Dáil and Seanad. The finance bill to give effect to all the revenue and taxation issues, and the social welfare bill. So they could be, frequently they go into the new year. And we were over this before when the crisis was upon us in 2011. They were basically rushed through the Dáil and Seanad in kind of truncated form in early 2011 to allow for that election that we had in February 2011.
Yeah, it can be done, John. So the likelihood is it probably will be done. A listener wants to know, can the government do the budget? Does the budget have to come before the election? Can you do it the other way around, a budget after the election? I'd imagine that would be politically untenable, especially, John, with the bumper receipts. We're rolling in DOSH. We're rolling in it from the figures from June.
Yes, and but there is, I mean, it does go all technical, because Sinn Féin, Piers Doherty was pursuing that question, and he was saying, you know what, in the September Exchequer returns, there's going to be a bumper. There's some guesstimates there that there may be an extra 3.5 billion, but certainly the government will have money to spend. The budget is the main vehicle for that, the lollipops and the goodies, to bribe us all with our own money and get us to vote them back in, hopefully, from their point of view. I think that's the plan. That's the way this one is going to play.
Yeah, certainly is. John, have a listen to this.
Can I say, you know, Deputy, and I just said to Deputy Connolly, that's a very disingenuous presentation. Yeah. I've condemned Israel's bombardment of Gaza. But it's never good enough for the left, because they've always attempted to use the Middle East and Gaza as
you
a wedge
issue. You haven't included in either
issue,
of your reports.
As a wedge issue continually. And Ireland has demonstrated through its policy on the Middle East and on Gaza its independence in foreign policy. For God's sake, acknowledge it.
I'd love to.
Ireland recognised the state of Palestine with Spain and with Norway. But you couldn't reference that. No, you had to try and give the impression that Ireland was a party to genocide. How dare you say that in this House? Why this self-righteousness of the far left in this country? Can I say...
There you go, that's Micheál Martin getting unusually exercised in the Dáil, responding to Catherine Connolly and saying, look, what more do you want us to do on Gaza? We are outliers. We have recognise Gaza with only two other countries. We have got criticism abroad, particularly from Israel and its allies, for doing that, and you're still not happy with it. Does he have a fair point?
I think he has. I think this is kind of, for some critics of government policy, it's very hard for the government, and particularly for Micheál Martin, to be credited with doing the right thing. But Ireland has, I think, played a fair hand, and has it's accused of anti-Semitism on the one hand by leaning too far towards Palestine in this. But you only have to look, have a casual glance at the foreign pages of anything, or put throw half an eye on the news, and you see the horror that is Gaza. And yeah, Ireland has tried, in a sense, not to inflame things, but to support the Palestinians. And yes, I think Micheál Martin basically has the rights of this, and you can hear his frustration. It's rare that he gets worked up. It's even rarer again that he would engage at that level on a foreign policy issue. But yes, I think he will get the vote of Middle Ireland on that.
He certainly will. John, also, have a brief listen to this.
Deputy Doherty, in a profoundly dishonest contribution early on, would seem to be suggesting that we can audit in 2022 the use of an MRI capacity that didn't exist until the end of 2023. So what I can assure the House Chair.
If you've made the point, would you please stop disrupting the House? Please. Could people learn to read the clock? I mean, you've adopted a regulation here that there's a minute for every question. Everybody disregards the thing. They disregard the chair. They don't respond when they're called on. Most unruly and unacceptable behaviour, I have to say.
Seanan Fáil, John, can you not get some hold on them up there and tell them to cop on? Our deputies and our leaders.
Yeah, I mean, it is quite extraordinary. You can hear the frustration there from Seanan Fáil. Basically, the chair, the Ceann Comhairle, has very little oomph or power to try and put a bit of order on the barrack. He can only suspend the House in extremis, expel a member, and so on and so forth. And there are limits to the number of times he can do that. So, yes, sometimes I suppose you need a balance. You need a bit of madness. You need a bit of passion. But also, I think it can be very unfair at times, and particularly never use one word when three dozen will do.
Yeah.
Approach to politics is wearying sometimes.
Yeah, it certainly is. Unruly school children sometimes, John. We'll leave it there. Thanks a million for talking to us this week. That's John Downing with Call from the Dáil. If you have a view on what he had to say, get in touch with us on the programme. We'll have more on the way.